भगवान् द्रोणाय राजारूपेण वर्तते तस्यात्मनोर्धम हान्यास्ते नान्वगार विरशु कृपि Dronacharya is certainly still existing, being represented by his son. His wife Kripi did not undergo a sati with him because she had a son. Of Dronacharya, Kripi is the sister of Kripacharya. A devoted wife who is, according to revealed scripture, the better half of her husband, is justified in embracing voluntary death along with her husband if she is without issue. But in the case of the wife of Dronacharya, she did not undergo such a trial because she had her son, the representative of her husband. A widow is a widow only in name if there is a son of her husband existing. So in either case, Ashwatthama was the representative of Dronacharya, and therefore killing Ashwatthama would be like killing Dronacharya. That was the argument of Draupadi against the killing of Ashwatthama. Bhavadbir Gaudavam Kulam Brijinam Narhati Praptum Pujyam Vanyam Abhikshnasa. O most fortunate one, who knows the principles of religion, it is not good for you to cause grief to glorious family members who are always respectable and worshipable. Purport. A slight insult for a respectable family is sufficient to invoke grief. Therefore, a cultured man should always be careful in dealing with worshipful family members. Marodi dasya janani gotami pati devatha yathaham ritya vatsartha rodim yashru muki muhu. Lord, do not make the wife of Dronacharya cry like me. I am aggrieved for the death of my sons. She need not cry constantly like me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sympathetic, good lady as she was, Srimati Draupadi did not want to put the wife of Dronacharya in the same position of childlessness, both from the point of motherly feelings and from the respectable position held by the wife of Dronacharya. In these beautiful verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Draupadi is expressing the natural heart of a sympathetic good lady and a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord. Her present predicament at the time of these prayers She had 5 beautiful sons. Each one was endowed with the qualities of their glorious fathers. She gave birth to a son for Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva. And they were all young, hardly in their teenage years. What sort of future they had in their lives. They had already won the battle of Kurukshetra. Yudhisthira was king. These children, she was so proud, would be the 5 princes of not only the king of Hastinapur, but the whole world. When something auspicious is given to the child, how happy and proud a good mother is to be. And these 5 children were the only children of Draupadi. And while they slept, the wicked-minded Ashwatthama ruthlessly murdered them without even giving them a chance to even know what was happening, what to speak of, defend themselves. So when this news reached the ears of Draupadi, naturally there was great grief. From one moment, she was the mother of the 5 most illustrious possible children, and the next moment, she was childless. You know, in this world, even the children being born, they are kaloshudra sambhave. They're quite worthless from a cultured point of view. But even if a child is one child dies, how much grief it causes a mother. But here, all 5, she had nothing and no one. Ashwatthama was captured by Arjuna, and it was decided that he be killed. But first, just so that Draupadi would see that justice was being met, to try to pacify her grief, they brought Ashwatthama before her. And here, the most soft and generous heart of Draupadi is being revealed. She's thinking of Kripi, the wife of Drona. How she would have entered into the funeral pyre of her husband as a chaste and loyal wife, but because she had one and only son, Ashwatthama, she remained living only for his sake. And Draupadi is completely putting aside her own conceptions to think in terms of the heart of Kripi. I am suffering so intensely, so terribly, it is unbearable. If you kill Ashwatthama, Kripi will have to suffer just like me. And that I cannot bear. Therefore, you must allow him to live. Para dukha dukhi. For a Vaishnava, the suffering of others is inherited by their own sweet will as their own suffering. Materialistic consciousness, there is a saying that misery wants company. When we're miserable, it gives us some relief when we see that other people are also miserable. Their misery should be equal to or worse than our own. Then there's some solace. When things are going wrong and we're in a miserable condition, we don't like to see others very happy. We don't like to see others prospering. We want them to be in the same predicament as us. That is the nature of the conditioned mind. If I'm down, everyone should be down. If I'm up, everyone should be slightly below me. That is material consciousness. But in Krishna consciousness, yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. There is an opposite outlook of life. A devotee does not mind enduring great difficulty and great problem if it will relieve the problem of others, if it will bring happiness and joy to others. That is the meaning of being a servant. A servant is willing to accept turmoil and tribulation in his life if it gives pleasure to the beloved object of his service. Whereas the mentality of wanting to be Prabhu or master is you want to see other people suffer tribulations to give you pleasure. And if we are being defamed, we cannot tolerate another being honored. If we are failing, we cannot tolerate another being successful. If we are diseased, we like to see everyone else with the same disease. This is the envious mentality. But Draupadi, she was willing to put aside all justice for the sake of showing mercy. That Kripi was a respectable lady. She was Dronacharya's wife. She was at no fault. Why should she have to suffer? Why should she have to undergo the terrible heart pains that I am going through? Unbearable. It cannot be done. Ashwatthama must be set free for the sake of his mother. One cannot understand the heart of a mother unless one is a mother. And Draupadi understood Kripi's heart. And therefore, how she was extending her sympathy for another. As we develop genuine sentiments as devotees of the Lord, this becomes more and more prominent. And as this becomes more prominent, we become more inspired and more empowered to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was happy. He was peaceful. He was in the loving arms of Sri Sri Radha and Damodar. Where was there to go? Beautifully situated at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari, in the divine abode of Braja. But the heart of Sri Gauranga and his associates was very much influencing his own. And that is a heart of compassion. That there are so many souls who are suffering. How could I be happy sitting in Vrindavan when so many of my brothers and sisters are suffering due to the illusion of Maya? I must do something. Whatever I can, however big or however small, to help them. I cannot tolerate to see this. The holy name has descended from the spiritual world, Golokera Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtana, to deliver everyone. Yet the world does not know. I must give them this message. I must give them Harinam. I must give them a chance to be relieved of all misery once and for all. Srila Prabhupada extended himself in this mood. Took such risk, endured such immense physical suffering. But that suffering was not as unbearable to him as the suffering of seeing other people in illusion. And therefore, how much he was inspired and empowered to be the instrument of the Lord in this age of Kali Yuga for spreading love of God like no one had ever done before in this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And when he came to New York, he was in Butler, Pennsylvania. Like many of his God brothers, he could have said, I went and I tried, but it is very difficult. In Butler, he was preaching. And he actually had a very comfortable arrangement there. I have seen the house. I have met the family, Agarwals. They were giving him a nice place to stay, some comforts, serving him nicely. But he was thinking, this is not the place where people are really suffering. This is not the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement will spread throughout the whole world. So he left the comforts of Butler to live in the most dangerous ghettos of New York City. For you who do not know what is New York City, you cannot imagine. Sometimes we hear about how Prabhupada had nothing to eat. He had no money. He was living in Bowery with strange, sinful people. No one respected him. No one recognized him as a saintly person. People laughed at him, ridiculed him. And not only that, but that place is more dangerous than any place you can imagine. The crime rate in those ghettos, there's nothing like it anywhere in this land of India. People are mugged, people are beat, they are robbed, they are killed every day by the dozens. Life has no meaning, it's cheap. That area is full of so many drug addicts and so many alcoholics and drunkards. And in their crazy, intoxicated states, They do anything, they say anything, they kill anything. Nobody even steps out of their house at night in those areas because they know that there's too much risk of being beaten or killed. It is called the asphalt jungle. But it is millions of more times dangerous than a jungle. Srila Prabhupada left the secure and comfortable abode of Mathura, Vrindavan for this place. And months went by and there was no progress. And he had his return ticket. And his godbrothers, when he was asking them for help, they were saying, "No, come back. It's impossible. You cannot do this. You'd come back." They would send him no help. They gave him no encouragement. And every now and then, Srila Prabhupada would go to the dock where he would see the Jaladuta waiting for him. He was thinking, "I can go back to Vrindavan. I tried my best. My Guru Maharaj asked, and I tried. But I'm old, 70, 71, heart patient. But he could not. Because of his compassion. Because everywhere he looked, he saw such misery and such suffering. And he could not find peace unless he did everything within his power to help these people to find relief and find Krishna's love. And therefore he remained. And after beginning the society, so many problems, dealing with so many different types of people that he never had to deal with before. People trying to manipulate him, people trying to exploit him, people trying to use him. Some very few were very sincere who really wanted to serve him. But even they had so many... so many problems that he had to personally deal with to help them make any progress. But he did it. At that age, he had to become a father, a mother, a grandfather, a grandmother, a friend, a nurse, a guru, everything. What prompted him to do this? Mercy. The same feeling that prompted Draupadi. Because Srila Prabhupada saw that here are people, throughout their lives, they're addicted to eating meat. They're addicted to illicit sex. They're addicted to all sorts of intoxications, unimaginable sorts of intoxications in that part of the world. They're gambling their whole life away. As far as justice goes, they deserve to suffer. They're creating their karma and they're suffering their karma. What is the problem? Why should we interfere? As far as justice goes, they're paving the path to hell, let them go to hell. They've been sinning their whole lives, let them pay the consequences of their sin. I didn't tell them to sin. Why should I interfere? So for all these people of the world, justice was being given to them. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. They were reaping the results of their own materialistic, envious activities. But Srila Prabhupada He didn't think like that. Not at all. Yes, they are meeting their justice. Yes, they are fools and rascals. Yes, they are sinful. But their suffering is my suffering. Therefore, I am willing to give my life and everything in it to help any one of them to come out of their suffering condition and taste the supreme joy of Krishna Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada inherited this compassionate spirit from his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who inherited from his father and Guru, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babu. This seed of compassion and desire to preach has been passed down and implanted in the hearts of great devotees from the time of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself. There are so many wonderful incidences in Chaitanya Charitamrita of this mood of selfless compassion and willingness to extend oneself and suffer for the sake of others. Sri Gauranga himself was one day in a terrible state of lamentation, and he revealed his heart to Sri Haridas Thakur. He said, Haridas, what to do in this age of Kali? People are suffering so terribly. They are so averse to Krishna consciousness. They're in such illusion. And they're so stubborn. What to do? How can I find peace when all of these children are suffering so terribly? And Haridas understood the mind of the Lord. And he spoke in such a way to try to pacify the troubled mind of Sri Gauranga. He said, my Lord, you have descended to deliver all of them. And just by coming to this world and chanting the holy names, all these people will go back to Godhead. They will all be liberated. So Srila Prabhupada explains, in relationship to this wonderful story, that Haridas was a perfect disciple. That the Guru, Gauranga, Jagat Guru, he's always feeling this type of anxiety for the fallen souls. And the proper disciple knows the heart of Guru and is willing to make any sacrifice for the sake of relieving the anxiety of Guru. And how Haridas Thakur lived up to his promise to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give his life to assist him to relieve the suffering of others. When the Kaji and the governor threatened, give up this preaching of Krishna Kirtan and we will set you free. Continue and we will beat you till you're dead. Haridas replied, you can beat me till I'm dead. I don't mind, because this body will die today or tomorrow in any case. But to stop showing compassion to people suffering is impossible for me. I cannot, because it is my service to the Lord. It is the heart of my Lord. I'm willing to give up everything, including my life, to serve the will of my Lord, to help others out of their suffering condition. Because their suffering condition is my suffering condition. So he was beaten through all the 22 marketplaces severely. And all the while, he continued calling out the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You see, if Haridas just would have agreed to stop so boldly and aggressively preaching, they didn't mind if he chanted the holy name of Krishna. He could have gone to Vrindavan and become Babaji and lived peacefully the rest of his life. He could have gone back to Benapol, to his cave, and just sit and chant Harinam, absorb himself in the ras of Braja, and live for the rest of his life. But he was willing to accept such severe, brutal insult, blasphemy, and beating because he knew Lord Chaitanya's desire to extend compassion to those who are suffering in this world, to preach. And therefore, he is called Nam Acharya. He is the Acharya of the holy name. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, in order to keep this mood of preaching in the forefront, immediately after offering our pranam prayers in the Prem Dvani to our gurus, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur. Such compassion. So much he had to endure. Even the very prostitute that came to destroy his life, he knew her motive, he knew her plan. Why did he stay? Why did he not leave that place? He was not attached to the place. He told her, I knew your motive. I stayed these extra 3 days because I wanted to deliver you from your suffering condition of illusion. Here is someone who had only one intention in her mind, to destroy his life. If Haridas Thakur was caught cheating with this prostitute, the people of the town, perhaps they would have stoned him and killed him for being a hypocrite. Or at least his whole mission would have been totally ruined forever. And that was her motive. But he stayed there only to give her Krishna Bhakti. And when he was being beaten by those terrible, terrible demons, they had no sympathy for him at all, not even a pinch. They were beating him with sticks as hard as they could, and they were spitting on him, and they were saying the most horrible, terrible, filthy words, blaspheming him in public, in front of everyone, ridiculing him. They had only one intention, to torture him and to kill him. And yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed later that he was trying to send his Sudarshan Chakra to kill these two demons. But Haridas was, the whole while, he was praying to the Lord in his heart, please, Lord, please forgive these sinful people for what they're doing. Please give them Krishna Bhakti. Haridas told him, you're torturing me so bad, that doesn't hurt so much. What hurts me is how you're suffering so bad in the illusion, forgetful of Krishna. That's what hurts, not these beatings of sticks on my body, but the pain of seeing your condition. Where is the question of justice in the hearts of such devotees? Justice supersedes, mercy supersedes justice. Mercy transcends all conception of justice. It is the highest principle. Mercy is causeless. Where there is no qualification, mercy is always seeking its way to find entrance through the hearts and the lives of the great Vaishnavas.
In the early days, devotees asked Prabhupada, what was our qualification for receiving the great gift that you're giving us? Srila Prabhupada said, you had no qualifications. I have come to make your qualifications. Think about what that means. That means all of the difficulties, heart attacks, all sorts of he was hospitalized. He was put through so much humiliation. The difficulties that he underwent to give us Krishna consciousness is our qualification. Nothing of our own. That is called mercy. He intervened with the justice that was meant to punish us. He was willing to accept it upon himself, if necessary, to give us liberation from suffering forever. Give us shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. In Chaitanya Lila also we found how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Thakur Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu, go to every house, to everyone you meet, give them Harinam, give them this message. Worship Lord Krishna. Chant his holy name. Make Krishna your life and soul. And Nityananda Prabhu, when he saw Jagai and Madhai, what was his feeling? These two men were so sinful. They were murderers. They were rapists. They were drunkards. They were thieves. They were extortionists. They were blasphemers. They were everything. As far as justice goes, all the pain that they're causing others will come back to them. Let it be. If it was a king, he would have just punished these rascals. He would have killed them if there was any good king at the time. But Nityananda Prabhu, he was the embodiment of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Forget justice. They deserve to go back to Godhead. And even after he tried to give them Krishna Bhakti and they smashed him on the head with pot with the intention to kill him and they were ready to do it again and again and again until the job was done, he was bleeding profusely, his clothes covered with blood. He was pleading with them. I do not mind the pain and the humiliation you are putting upon me, but what causes me grief is to see your condition. How you are giving up the treasure of your own heart, Krishna, to suffer such a ridiculously terrible life. Please take the name of Krishna. I beg you. Jagai was thinking, this man is a saint. But Madhai still wanted to kill him. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu personally appeared on the scene, angry as fire for these offenses. And he called for the Sudarshan Chakra and was about to destroy them both. As far as justice goes, even the Lord himself, the most merciful of all incarnations, even he had to serve justice under this condition. But Nityananda Prabhu pleaded, no, my Lord, please, do not give them your chakra. Because in this age of Kali, practically everyone is sinful like them. We have come to give mercy, not justice. We have come to give mercy to them, to give them Krishna's name, to give them Krishna's service. And by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, those same two people who chased him, who blasphemed him, who tried to murder him. He prayed for their lives, and he gave them Krishna consciousness. He gave them entrance into the sweet eternal world of love through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we also find how Vasudev Dutt, resident of Mam Gachi in the Navadvip Islands, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a prayer that has never been heard or seen before. He was feeling so much sorrow to see other people suffering that he prayed, "My Lord, please, I only have one desire." Mahaprabhu explained, "Whatever you desire, Krishna will certainly fulfill." Think, analyze, what is your condition of consciousness? If you were given any benediction, Krishna would fulfill any desire of yours. What would you desire? Think about it. What was Vasudev Dutt's desire? Mahaprabhu already promised, Krishna will fulfill your desire. What is your desire? "My desire is that I go to hell for the rest of eternity. By taking on all the karma and all the sins of everyone within this universe, so that all of them could be liberated and go back home, back to Godhead, to enjoy eternal life in your loving association." Was that the desire that was number one on your list? To be willing to suffer the karma of everyone in the universe in hell so that they could all enjoy with Krishna? That was Vasudev Dutt's desire. That was his prayer, and he was willing to do it. Words are cheap, but he actually had that compassion. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord of the heart. And when he was hearing Vasudev Dutt's words as Paramatma, he knew that Vasudev Dutt meant every word of it. And he was willing to suffer the karma of every living being in this universe. Not only was he willing to, he was longing to, he was praying to. Because he could not bear seeing the suffering of others. He would have been quite blissful suffering the Yamadutta's various torturous methods if he knew in his heart that everyone else is dancing with Gauranga in the spiritual world, chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these prayers. His heart melted in love for his devotee. He was overwhelmed with ecstasy in gratitude for this feeling of his devotee. And he explained to Vasudev Dutt that there is no need
for you to go to hell. Because of your desire, I will liberate everyone.
Chaitanya, after this incident, he used to often tell his devotees and associates that I have only come to this world for Vasudev Dutt. I am Vasudev Dutt's man. So this is the mission that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully given us entrance into. When we say this is a preaching mission, we should not understand this in a very superficial way. We have to understand that the personalities we are discussing, Haridas, Nityananda Prabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Vasudev Dutt, these great souls, they are the heart of the mood of this great mission. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in order to preach truth, he had to undergo so much difficulty. He had to expose so many rascals who were cheating people out of compassion. They threatened his life. The police told him that they paid us so many tens and thousands of rupees to kill you. Usually we do this. If we don't, they may pay someone else. But you should be careful. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati already had a bhajan kutir at Radha Kund, which he inherited from his father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. He already had a bhajan kutir in Sridham Mayapur, right at the very site of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's birth, the Yoga Pit. Where is there more? He had Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house in Godramdweep, Sri Chaitanya Math. He had the most wonderful, peaceful places in Mayapur and Vrindavan, where he could sit and do his bhajan. Here, people were threatening to murder him, to kill him. Why didn't he go back? He decided to leave his body in Calcutta. By his own free will. Because he had adopted the mood of Haridas, Nityananda Prabhu, Vasudev Dutt. And Srila Prabhupada adopted that. He adopted that mood of utter selfless compassion, to extend one's heart, to experience the suffering of other living beings. And although we know that in Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mission, we are given a transcendental position in Vrindavan Leela, if we just adhere in great humility to the lotus feet of the previous acharyas and Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada taught us that this is the process of adhering ourselves to his mercy. On Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, we heard in the temple room that beautiful tape of Srila Prabhupada's lecture, where he was explaining the glorious compassion of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And he was explaining how his Guru Maharaj ordered him to carry on this mission of preaching Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada began to cry. In this mood he began to cry. We have to understand what is the content of a tear.
Anyone could cry. People cry when they fail their exams. People cry when they step on a thorn in their foot. People cry because they like to make people feel sorry for them. People cry to make a show of being a great devotee. So many people cry. But when a tear falls from the eyes of such a great soul, we should understand the content of that tear. We have explained the mood of Vasudev Das, the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. We have explained the background of the life of Srila Prabhupada. It is that intense, burning spirit of compassion, which is actually the compassion of Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself, invested within his heart, that was the content of that tear. And as he was weeping, he was begging all of us, please assist me in pushing forward this mission of my Guru Maharaj. That means to be willing to make great sacrifices to preach. Not to preach to become great preachers, but to preach to alleviate the sufferings of others. But in order to do that, we have to put aside our own petty, ridiculous priorities in life. We're so caught up and we become so agitated by the slightest obstruction to the way we would like our life to go. If somebody says something to us, if something happens to us, we take it so seriously. It occupies our mind to such an extent. This is due to selfishness. We have to strive to give this up. We have to learn to make other people's suffering our suffering. We have to cooperate together, because the world is in great need of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explained that you show your love for me by how you cooperate. But what does that mean? Anything that is said by great souls, we have to go deeply. What does this mean? They're not just words. When he said you can show your love for me by how you cooperate, because the world is in a miserable condition. And you can show your love for Srila Prabhupada, you can show your love for the great souls by helping to alleviate the suffering of the world, and the only way you can reach people like that in a proper way is if we cooperate together. Not to cooperate just to exist, but to cooperate to preach, to show compassion, to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. So on that day he was begging us, please, don't give up this movement. Help me to push on the mission of my Guru Maharaj. And we have inherited this life, and it is our first priority over everything. Srila Prabhupada preached till his last breath, trying to help others become Krishna's pure devotees. What is the heart of such a great soul? What is the love that such a great soul has for each and every living entity? Mercy above justice.
This is mercy.
So in this beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Draupadi, in her own motherly, affectionate way, is exhibiting this pure quality of a devotee. That I'm suffering terribly, Ashwatthama deserves to die, but I cannot even imagine that a respectable lady like Kripi would have to suffer the way I am. I'd rather cry alone than to have someone to cry with me. Such virtue. If Ashwatthama was killed, Kripi would certainly not blame anyone. She would not blame Arjuna. She would not blame Draupadi. She would know that her son deserved it. But still, it was her son. We could say that Draupadi and Kripi could have just had each other's association and wept and cried and felt sorry for one another and comforted one another in their similar problem. But Draupadi would rather cry alone than to cause such misery to another. And we can extend this same mood of paradukaduki. In our own lives, by understanding how it is the very substance of our movement. Questions?
Talking about the compassion, if we go on a very day-to-day life, we always been preached by Bhagavad Gita, and we take the example of Arjuna, and Arjuna himself was very compassionate. Lord Krishna himself told me, don't be compassionate on Duryodhan and kill them. On one side, we have been taught on Bhagavad Gita's principles, and when we read Srimad Bhagavatam and we go very deep in it, we feel it at such a high level. So sometimes when we go in our practical life and somebody, some people does wrong with us, at that time, on one side, we have been taught about Bhagavad Gita philosophy, that somebody doing wrong, Lord Krishna himself has said that kill him, do the needful, do whatever he has done, we have to react on the same basis. And on the other side, because of very deep and deep, when we go above Srimad Bhagavatam, we feel it, no, this is not right, I have to be merciful.
You must understand that compassion is different according to people's different nature. Because Arjuna wanted to kill Ashwatthama. And Krishna even said, kill him. That was also compassion. For a Kshatriya, it is compassion to kill like this. You relieve them of their karma, you relieve them of their suffering. It is justice, but in the mood of compassion also. And if he's killed in the presence of Krishna, he'll be liberated. So Bhima and Arjuna, they were equally as compassionate as Draupadi. And they were saying, kill this rascal. Kill him now. He must die. That was compassion. That was love. That was mercy. And Draupadi was pleading, no, do not make Kripi cry like me, let him live. That was also compassion. She had the pure compassion of a mother in Krishna consciousness, and Arjuna and Bhima had the pure compassion of warriors in Krishna consciousness. And we're going to read in the verses to come how Krishna had to satisfy both parties because he knew that they were both equally devoted to him. They were both his eternal servants. And we'll see how Krishna has to adjust accordingly.
day-to-day, whenever we day-to-day dealings with us, we are always confused. What is to be done? Should we have that type of compassion like Arjuna, or should we go for a very deep way like Draupadi? There's always that confusion is always there.
You have to understand what is your service. The compassion should always be to forgive. A devotee is forgiving. They asked Lord Jesus Christ, it is said in the Shastra you should forgive someone 7 times. Do you also say you should forgive 7 times? Jesus said you should forgive 7 times 7 times. The people who were crucifying him, he was begging God, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Unless you have a mood following in the footsteps of Joe Souls, you cannot preach, because people deserve the wrath of God in this age. You have to be forgiving to be a preacher. And a Vaishnava's heart is naturally forgiving. Arjuna's heart was naturally forgiving. Even all the injustices done to him, he was willing to forgive them all and let them have the kingdom. But Krishna told him, but your service is to show compassion by fighting and killing them. That is compassion. So they understood their vision of compassion from Krishna. We should always be forgiving. We should always be aspiring to be loving and compassionate to others. But we have to understand, through proper guidance and philosophy, how to show compassion. It is not just something sentimental. Sometimes so-called mercy is actually destroying someone's life. Spare the rod, spoil the child. If the parent doesn't punish the child when the child is misbehaving out of so-called compassion, that's not compassion at all. That's ignorance. It's ruining the child's life for the future. So we have to understand, we're speaking, but we cannot be sentimental. Our compassion must be based on philosophical truth and superior guidance and authority. Otherwise, in the name of forgiving someone and being kind to someone, we might actually be causing great pain to their lives. We may be misleading them. We may be depriving them. So Arjuna was a warrior. He was more like a preacher in his own occupation. And Krishna told him how to be compassionate, how to be merciful. Kill this man. That was mercy. But Draupadi was a mother. And Krishna accepted her sentiments of devotion as a mother, which is quite sentimental. But he appreciated it. So we must know that the mood of compassion, the mood of mercy, is the mood of our sampradaya. And we must be striving to cleanse our hearts so that that mood can also be impregnated within our hearts. And it can expand within our hearts. That is always there. But we must understand that without the guidance of Guru Sadhu Shastra, even if we have mercy, we do not know how to extend it for the good of others or the good of ourselves. So Draupadi saying, release him. Arjuna, Bhima are saying, kill him. They had to approach Krishna. They had to all stand before Krishna. We're all merciful. Now what do we do? Krishna adjusted and taught them what must be done. They humiliated him in such a way that it was worse than death for him. But mother doesn't mind if a child's humiliated as long as he's still alive. So for her it was all right. So adjustment was made. Just like Prabhupada told the story of when he was young and he heard a mother beating her daughter. The daughter was screaming and crying. And Prabhupada was asking somebody, why is this mother beating her daughter so severely? He says, because this is mercy, this is compassion. Because the little sister had typhoid. And the doctor said, if she eats solid food, she will die. But she wanted solid foods. So her older sister brought her fried parathas. And when the mother found out about that, she started beating the older sister. Why you are doing like this, giving fried parathas? Your so-called compassion is going to kill her. You have to understand what it means to be compassion. Compassion in this way means to let her suffer starvation for some time. That is compassion. And to teach her sister a good lesson and to protect her little sister, she had to beat her. That is mercy. Of course, it's not transcendental mercy, but the principle is there. That without knowledge, there can be no real mercy. Without guidance from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, we don't know what is real compassion, nor how to show it to anyone. It is not based on mundane sentiments. Real compassion is based on spiritual sentiments. And spiritual sentiments are born of knowledge. Therefore, we must have a philosophical understanding of what is what. Acharyopashanam. One who hears from Acharya knows what is what. No one else can know.
This class, you are giving so much emphasis on preaching, but whatever I have heard before, you give so much emphasis, not so much on preaching, but you give more emphasis on daily sadhana. So is it not so that first of all, your daily sadhana should be strong enough, and afterwards you have to go for a preaching, but don't keep as a preaching as a priority first. It's daily sadhana as a second priority.
You cannot separate preaching from sadhana. Because to preach, you have to be empowered. You have nothing to say. You have to simply be the instrument in the hands of the great souls. And you become the instrument to the degree you surrender to their will. The potency and the power that comes through you is according to your purity. And without sadhana, there's no question of purity. Srila Prabhupada also explained so many times, this is a preaching movement, but he said that if the devotees are chanting 16 rounds attentively, following the four regulative principles, and properly serving according to my instructions, he said, then nothing can impede our preaching progress. But he said, if the devotees are not pure in their life, following the principles, chanting 16 rounds, and profusely reading my books, he said, if the devotees are not doing these things, then our whole mission will fail. There is no chance, there is no hope. We are performing our sadhana in a mood of compassion. We should be trying to cultivate that consciousness. That if I want to help others, I have to be strong enough to help them. I have to have the mercy of Guru behind me. And without sadhana, the mercy of Guru will not be behind me. Even if you don't care for your own life, you should strictly follow the principles of Prabhupada's sadhana program for others' sake. Unless you are spiritually strong, you cannot influence another person's heart. You can influence their minds. So many people are influencing so many people's minds. But if you want to actually place that seed of bhakti in their hearts, And if you actually want to help it grow, you have to be spiritually strong. You have to be a suitable instrument in the hands of the great souls. And for that, it is absolutely required that you are Krishna conscious with very, very strong, attentive, and sincere sadhana. It is a must. Very much. Hare Krishna.